Anybody thankful for Single Moms Retreat this weekend? Anybody thankful? One last time, can we give it up for Miss Angie Getz and her team and the leadership here? A giant thank you. So amazing. I love that. You just never know what you're going to get in the last session. Sounds like an Amazon rainforest in here. If you were sleeping a little bit ago, you aren't now. You are not now. Is that a bird? Yeah, it is. An Amazon one. Are you ladies ready for the final session? Let's go! I am excited. A lady this morning in my podcast session, which, by the way, if you missed McKelty and I, by the way, can we give it up for McKelty in this morning? You're awesome. Look, if you did not join our podcast session, you missed out, okay? Because is there any moms here who love what's called the Minnesota State Fair? Oh, just three of you. Okay, that's fine. I guess just me and McKelty will love that. That's fine. It felt like we were at a state fair, like DJ recording radio shows, those booths at the state fair, because we had a live audience, and we talked about all of our favorite Minnesota State Fair food, and we threw Starbursts out to all the moms. So if you weren't there, you missed out. Okay, and if you're sitting there wondering, well, what was his favorite state fair food? Well, I'll tell you. I love the roasted corn that they dip in the butter, and it smells so good, the corn. And I love the cheese curds, and I love pronto pups and corn dogs. And I love the French fries, the fresh cut French fries there. And I love to people watch all the crazy moms who are yelling at their children. I like that too. All right, I digress. Please forgive me. I wrote a book. It's called Death to Life, okay? I wrote this book called Death to Life. And part of my sermon from last night is in that book. And when I came here, I was like, you know what? I want to bring this book, but I don't just want to bring it. I want to make sure single moms can get a copy if they want for free, okay? And to do that, I reached out to some really good friends. I sent them a video, and I just said, hey, would you mind buying a book for a single mom? And so I want to thank my friends, Trey Peterson, Mike Graff, Peter Herzog, Matt and Crystal Roush, Ann Lane, and Ben Herzog, who all bought books for all the single moms. Can we give it up for all my friends who bought all the books? Here you are. Let's go. Let's go. You're on camera. That's amazing. I can imagine it now. It's 1 a.m. Single moms are sleeping, sound asleep. And all of a sudden, outside their window, they hear, Gah! It's like that speaker's here. What is he doing outside my window? The title of my last message today is titled Oasis. I have a question for you. Have you ever been somewhere, and when you got there and you experienced it, you're like, this is amazing, and I just don't want to leave? There's two moms in the front, like, here, 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 right here. No, 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 you don't understand. Like, here, this is it. Have you ever been somewhere before, though, where when you show up, it's like, man, it was so refreshing. It was so life-giving. And it's almost like an escape a little bit from reality. Like, it's this place that you can go where every time you go there, it's just like, man, that was amazing. Or, man, that was refreshing. Or, I don't know where those places have been for you or where you've gone. I know possibly, as some of you have said, this has been that place for you. On the way here, on the drive here, I just posted a story saying, I can't wait to preach to all these single moms. And a single mom responded back, and she said this. She said, the single mom's retreat was a saving grace for my life this last 5 years. And aren't you thankful for an oasis like this, a place like this where you can just get away? Now, I can't come here next year because I am not a single mom, okay? If I was a single mom, this would be an oasis type place for me. But because I'm not a single mom and I'm not coming back here next year, some of the places that are just so life-giving for me, that are like an oasis, it's a refreshing spot, is don't judge me for these, okay? It's just me. It's things that I like, okay? I love like a really good ambiance and a really good lighting and environment in a local coffee shop, okay? Thank you for the one clap. I feel refreshed there. I feel life-giving there. My creative juices start flowing out of my brain. I want to write books there. I feel so refreshed. Some people get stressed out in coffee shops. I just love a good coffee shop. You know what else relaxes me and refreshes me? It's like an oasis for me. You know what it is? A local Mexican restaurant. You want to know what makes it even better for me? The free chips and salsa. Because you know what I do? I tell the server, just keep them coming. Keep those chips and salsa coming. You want to know why? Because it tastes good and it's free. I come alive in Mexican restaurants. I come alive. It's an oasis. And it gets even better if they bring the queso. Because I love good queso. Somebody be like, oh, we're going to stop there on the way home. You just figured it out for us. Thank you. You're welcome. Make sure you do the when you show up. Make sure you give one of those when you walk right in. You be confident. No, I'm sorry. I won't go there. Got all these chihuahuas showing up in the restaurants everywhere. The server, what got into you? Single mom's retreat. You got to come. Well, I'm not a single mom. It doesn't matter. I love a good Mexican restaurant. I love a good coffee shop. I have so many more. I'm not going to keep going for the sake of time in our message. But the point of an oasis is literally it's described this. It is a fertile or green spot in a desert. An oasis is a fertile or green area in a desert that is made possible by a water source, such as a spring or a well. And then here's another descriptor for it. It's a place that provides refreshing relief. An oasis can also be a place or thing that offers a pleasant change or relief from something that is difficult, annoying, or dull. When I think back over my life, I remember there was one spot that regularly felt this way for me. Because growing up in a broken home was difficult. I was surrounded by females. I love my sisters. I love my mom, okay? That is not a side, whatever. But I'm surrounded by females, and that was my life. That was my upbringing. But there was one friend whose family kind of adopted me and took me in, and it was one of the most refreshing places. It was a dad in our church and his wife, and ended up becoming one of my best friends. And his house was a safe place for me. Every time I stepped into the house, it brought a refreshing. Even the smell of their home, when I stepped in it, it brought this refreshing to me. It brought this safety to me. I watched how they did family dinners. I watched how a husband was supposed to love a woman. I watched how a woman was supposed to love a man. And their love for each other brought an oasis for my life where I wasn't seeing that in my own home. And I look at how God used a family in our church to literally take me under their wing and help provide an oasis for me. You know what the world is constantly searching for? The world is constantly searching for relief, and they're constantly searching for an oasis. Anything, anywhere that can create an escape from the problems, from the grief, from the trials, from just the difficulties that life brings. And it's like all of humanity is searching for this oasis place, is searching for a spot to go. It's why young men spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on gambling, which lead to some of the most depraved outcomes because of the losses they experience. That one moment of watching a sports game and putting money on it creates an oasis for a man to feel like they can escape from what's going on in the world. It doesn't have to be just gambling. You could probably fill in the blank of different oases that are provided for humans to go to try to find any temporary kind of relief. And the one oasis that will bring full satisfaction to every woman and every man is the person of Jesus Christ. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And how many times in Scripture do we see people who are on the same journey as us, and then they encounter this oasis in this person named Jesus who brings immediate refreshing, who brings immediate relief, and the burdens that were once heavy get thrown off of their life, and now it all of a sudden becomes light for them. Because they have found the source. They have found the oasis. You know what Jesus describes the Holy Spirit? When he describes the Holy Spirit, he describes it as living waters. Rushing living waters. You know what an oasis is? It's an area that is fueled by rushing living waters, giving life to the area around it. You know what the Holy Spirit is for every woman in this place? It is an oasis for every single woman in this place. Right here, right now. And the oasis you experience at Single Moms Retreat is beautiful. You're away from responsibility. You're away from possibly work. You're away from possibly children. It's like this ability to get away, and it's beautiful and it's amazing. But there's a promise for every single woman that you have to hear. The oasis does not stay at this retreat center, but the oasis goes wherever your feet go. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't meant to exist inside of buildings. The Holy Spirit always wanted to exist inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is described as this life-giving oasis. This comfort. This refreshing. And how I want to conclude today is I want to look at one person in Scripture who had horrible cards dealt to him. But he did not allow the cards that were dealt to him to dictate whether or not he encountered an oasis and in turn became an oasis. Ladies, listen to me. What you have walked through and what you have gone through has been difficult. And can I just say this? Next to Jesus, you are a hero to me. Next to Jesus, so Jesus is number one. All of you who are here today are a hero to me. Because know what I see when I look at you? I see strength. I see someone who is strong, crazy strong. I see someone who has grit. I see someone who has passion, who has tenacity. I see someone who cares and cares deeply. I see someone who wants to do the right thing, tries to do the right thing. And I just want you to know something. The same oasis that you encounter through Jesus is the same oasis he wants to create inside of you to now to become to others. The living waters that come into you weren't meant to turn into a pond that become dead and stale. But the living waters that come into you was designed to not only come into you, but now to flow through you to become an oasis to the world around you. So I have hope. I have hope for every single mom in here. There's a couple things I want you to know on what it means to become an oasis, the kind of oasis that Jesus wants for every single woman. Number one is this, if you're taking notes. Your starting point is irrelevant to becoming an oasis. Your starting point is irrelevant to becoming an oasis. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It's coming up on the screen. It says this. This is Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, put in the treasure house of his God. Time out. Stop right here. Leave this up here for a second. Please, please, please don't miss this. In ancient Near Eastern cultures, they believed that if they were safe and that if no one came and occupied their land, then their God was more powerful than the gods around them in other countries and other surrounding areas. So, if your land was to be taken from you and another country came in and seized you and kidnapped you, it meant your God was dead, your God wasn't alive, or your God has abandoned you and left you to die. So let me put it in a context that you'll understand. Daniel is 12 years old when he's kidnapped, and a foreign country pulls him to a different land. And you want to know what every Israelite is thinking as they're kidnapped? Is that Yahweh isn't real and he's dead. Because some other country has a bigger God, a more powerful God, that allowed them to capture the land and take everything over. That was the common theme that everyone else believed. Daniel starts at 12 years old with some of the worst cards any human could ever be dealt with. Imagine being kidnapped from your home. You no longer have a safe place. You're wondering if you're going to die, your family's going to die. And this is now your starting point. Everything in Daniel's life has been flipped upside down. And Daniel has every right and every reason to complain and even to ridicule God. And here is Daniel's starting point. A starting point of loss, a starting point of grief, and the common belief that would have been held by people that Yahweh has abandoned them, that God doesn't care, and he's forgotten them. And yet you don't see Daniel complaining about his starting point. You don't see Daniel start to complain about where he is, how he got to where he was. And a lot of us get to choose. We get to choose what's going to take place no matter what's happened to us, no matter the starting point we have, we get to choose. Daniel was found in a lion's den later in his life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were found in a blazing furnace. And yet, know what I find really interesting? Is despite Daniel's starting point, the oasis that Yahweh was still showed up time and time again in Daniel's life. Which tells me this. Your starting point as a single mom, your starting point with tons of money or lack of money, is irrelevant for God wanting to be an oasis for you in your life. He wants to be that for you. He wants to be an oasis for you. And here's what I would tell you. Some of you ladies can resemble a flower more like this than you can resemble a flower like this. And here's what I would tell you. Don't let Satan compare you in your starting point that looks like this and contrast to another woman and lady who looks like this. Because a lot of us will see other people that look like this and they have the fruit to show for it and they have the outside to look like it. But a lot of us will discredit what God wants to do in this place. And if we're not careful, we may complain our very way out of the flower God wants to produce inside of you and allows you to keep staying looking like this. It's important that when our starting point looks futile, that we put our eyes on the one who can bloom anything out of anything. Because when your eyes go on Jesus, you now have a starting point that might look like this. But eventually, he wants to turn it into something like this. We don't get to choose our starting point a lot of the times. And it's in these seasons that makes us feel like we want to quit. It's in these feelings and in these seasons that makes us want to give up. And God just says, if you just keep believing, if you just keep the faith, let me be your oasis, then you'll watch God turn this into this. I got a front row seat to a mom who lived a life a lot like this. My mom's starting point was a lot like this. And I remember when my mom called her friend to bring us to church. We showed up to this church. I didn't want to go. My dad wasn't in church anymore. And my mom said, son, you got to get out of the van. I said, Mom, I'm not going into that church because I know nobody. I'm not going in, Mom. And she looks at me and she goes, if you don't get out of the van, then I'm going to go find a man in the church and he's going to drag your butt into church. So, you better get out of the van, son. I said, Mom, I'm staying right here. That was our blue Chrysler wood panel van. There were no tint windows back in the day in those vans. It was clear glass. It's a brand new church. We know nobody. And here my mom is. She was married to my dad for 17 years. And she never worked a job. She stayed at home with four kids trying to raise them. And then she finds out her husband doesn't want to marry her. And now she's forced to find multiple jobs. And her starting point looks a lot like this. Can I just tell you? I never once heard my mom complain about her starting point. You want to know what I saw my mom do with her starting point? She tried to get herself and her kids to the nearest oasis. The nearest place that her kids could be nurtured. The nearest place where her kids could hear about Jesus. I didn't believe my mom. I stayed in the van. My mom found the biggest dude in the church. She comes walking outside with them, and I see him, and I immediately hide under the van seats. And I'm thinking my mom's going to look in the van and be like, oh, he's not in the van. He must have went into church. No. Church moms know when you're lying. They just stare at you, and they know all your sins. They just look at you weird. I learned a lesson that day. Never mess with crazy church moms, ever. You don't do that. So I hid under the van thinking I'm in the clear. My mom's not going to see me. And it's this giant man. He opens up the door. He puts his face under the seat. His beard is flowing in the wind, staring at me. And he looks at me and just goes, ah! Like it's a bird man. He looks at me. He goes, son, you need to obey your mom. You need to get into church. I didn't have a dad in my life who would look at me and talk to me that way. But boy, did I need that. I wanted nothing to do with church because the person who introduced me to church didn't want church anymore either. You know what my mom did with a starting point like this? Is she brought her kids to an oasis so her kids could have a chance to turn out like this. We can't choose what happens to us to give us a starting point like this, but we definitely can choose where our oasis is and choose to run to the right oasis that can bloom something fragile and make it into something beautiful. That very first Sunday at church, I was so terrified. I was so scared. You know who I ended up meeting that day? I ended up meeting the best man in my wedding. Remember in the beginning of my sermon, I said there was a house where I felt really safe in, and the mom and dad who loved each other? That was the best friend I met that day when my mom said, get your butt into church. You know what God is really good at doing? He's really good at putting the lonely into families. And you know what I needed? Is I needed a family. You want to know why I travel around and preach the gospel? I travel around and preach the gospel because the grace of Jesus, the oasis that he is, found me. But then I am what I am today because there were dads in the church who saw a single mom who couldn't afford to go to camp. And dads paid for me to go to camp so I could come to these altars and encounter Jesus. You want to know why I'm doing what I'm doing today? It's because dads would hear about vehicle problems and come fix our van for my mom. Want to know why I am what I'm doing today? It's because people in the church around Christmas time would come knock on our door and drop off envelopes of cash because a single mom couldn't afford Christmas gifts for her kids. You want to know why I'm doing today? It's because people out in the church, an oasis, they became an oasis for a family who was broken and hurting. And I got to experience that. I got to see that. So when I travel and preach around America, I don't look at people and see guests that I don't know. I see a giant oasis that raised me, believed in me, and sent me to do what I'm doing today. I know what it means to live in a home like this, but I also now know what it means to live in a home like this. Don't ever compare your starting point to another female, even another single mom, that might look like this. Just know that right where you are right here is really beautiful, and found, and when found in an oasis, can turn into something amazing. Number one is where you start is irrelevant to becoming an oasis. And number two, to become an oasis means to remain in the oasis. I love what happens in Daniel 1, verse 8. It's coming on the screen. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel was kidnapped, and then he was forced in a pagan country to start doing the things that would go against what it means following Jesus, or following Yahweh at the time. Daniel said, if that's going to defile me, then I don't want to touch it. If it's going to be something that disrupts me and God, I don't want it in my life. A lot of us want this. A lot of us want the bloom. And a lot of us want the full bloom. But if we're not willing to take care of things that might defile it, get in the way or poison it, then we'll never move from here to here. And there might be things right now that have defiled your relationship with Jesus. Things that have tried to get in the way. And any kind of defilement is any kind of thing that would get in the way between you and Jesus. And it keeps you stuck in a spot just like this. Growth can't happen unless there's active remaining in the oasis. It's remaining in Christ. You know what Christ says? Remain in my love. Remain in my love. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken over you. You know what I want you to do, ladies? Remain in my love. Remain in me. That word, it's meno in the Greek, this word remain. It's all over John 15. Just remain in my love. Just stay in me. Stay in Christ. Know what I love to buy in the fall? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Know what I love to buy in the fall? Please, just let me say it. PSLs? Pumpkin spice lattes? The ladies are excited for PSLs, but it's just beginning to feel like summer. We have a ways to go. You know what I love to buy in the fall? I love to buy these. They are these things. If you've never heard of them, that's okay. I just discovered them a couple years ago. They are called Mums. Have you ever heard of those? Mums, not moms, mums. Have you ever heard? of mums. Have you heard of that before? If you don't know what mums are, it's not a single mom in a European British accent. What it is, where is this coming from? What it is, it's a flower pot, kind of. Don't judge me. I don't know. I'm learning. Just Google moms. Just stop. Okay. Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you. I was looking for that. There's a mom down front. She goes, "We know what they are. Like, just get on with it." Yeah. Thank you. So 3 years ago, I go to this garden place by my house. I have no idea what I'm doing. All I know is I want my house to look pretty on the outside, okay? And I buy these things called mums because I like the color of them. And when I go to check out, she goes, sir. I go, yeah. She goes, are you sure you want to buy these mums? I go, yeah. Why? They're beautiful. Look at them. She goes, sir, I'm just letting you know, the ones that you're buying, they might like last only a couple weeks. And I go, are you kidding me? Like, I'm buying mums. They're supposed to last forever. She goes, no, sir. You want to buy these ones over here. And they're the ones that literally look like this. There's no bloom whatsoever. They look dead to me. Why would I buy a dead-looking mum? Why? Do you see how pretty the one I'm buying is? It's bloomed. It's beautiful. My house will look pretty. A lady saved me from wasting a ton of money on buying flowers that were already bloomed. You know, it was actually way more beautiful of a process? Buying the ones that looked dead so I could watch them go through the process of going from looking dead to becoming beautiful and fully bloomed. And you know what it took to make mums look really beautiful? I love my children, and I take care of them just about every day. I gotta tell you, I think I loved my mums more than my children. I was out there like a grandpa, just staring at them multiple times a day, just delighting in the color, watching the little guy trying to spurt through and bloom. It was so fun. I got my green water pail. I'd go out there and I'd water them every day, multiple times a day. Can I just tell you, the process of going from this to this was way more enjoyable than buying them already looking like this. When you try to fast forward the growth process and try to skip it to get to this, you will miss out on the most beautiful part of the adventure and journey of following Jesus and letting him being the oasis for you to grow you into the beautiful woman he's called you to be. It's just a lot of us don't like this process, so we forsake it, knowing that we'll try to fast forward our way. But in the kingdom of God, there is no fast forward button. There's only a remain button. In God's kingdom, there's only a button to remain. To remain even like this. To remain in the wasteland seasons. To remain in the dry seasons. To remain in the fruitless seasons. To remain in the seasons where you're ridiculed or you're getting whatever. To be able to remain in that oasis when it looks like this. Now, when you remain in Christ and it starts to look like this, you have something beautiful to share. And can I just tell you, listen to me. If you remain in Jesus every day, but you never end up looking like this, just listen to me. You still won because you remained in Jesus every day. America will preach this every single day, that you got to look like this. The kingdom of God sometimes just preaches this and says, just remain in me. And if I want the fruit to come, I'll produce the fruit in your life. You won't have to even strive for it. It will just come. That's beautiful. You know who did that? Daniel. 3 times a day, Daniel would pray, and it got him to the point where it almost got him killed. You know what that tells me about Daniel's life? He wasn't willing to let defilement keep him stuck, but he also wasn't willing to let his commitment to Jesus be what stops, even when authorities tell him to stop following them. Want to know why? Because Daniel was committed to remain when others were telling him to stop. There will be people who might try to stop your progress in Christ, who try to tell you to stop following Christ. But man, let your number one goal be remain in the oasis. Remain in Jesus. Remain in Christ. I tell my mom all the time, thank you, Mom. All the time, thank you, Mom. Thanks for bringing us to church when I didn't want to go. Thanks for showing us where the oasis is. Thanks for telling us about Jesus. Thank you, Mom. Moms, you have something beautiful to offer. You know what it is? It's your faith in Jesus. It's something beautiful. There's places in Scripture where it talks about the grandmother's faith and the mom's faith and how it impacted people. It leads me to my big so what. What's the point of all this? And here it is. Your blooming will become an oasis that impacts other people. Your blooming in your life. I love Miss Joy Freeman. I don't know where she is. There you are, Joy. My life has been impacted by Joy Freeman. You want to know why? Because what I heard from some other woman writing about her life ministered to my life. You know what that is? That is a woman who is blooming, not so she can show how awesome she is. She's blooming because she's showing off the oasis that's remaining in her to now give away to others. You know what deeply ministered to me? Watching single moms get up and put money in the offering for other single moms to come. You know what that shows me? A single mom who's trying to do this just to bloom. Just, I want to give. I want to pay it forward, even if it's a couple dollars, whatever it is. You know what that is? That's Jesus inside of you starting to blossom and becoming an oasis for others. Because of Daniel's faith, the king made a declaration that the rest of the land was supposed to know the same God that Daniel worshipped. Daniel was kidnapped at 12, and he lived a life remaining in God, and it led to becoming an oasis to other people hearing about the God that Daniel served. That is what the kingdom can look like. Ladies, I'm going to end with this, but please don't judge me. Please, just don't. I just discovered mums 3 years ago. Can I tell you something pretty cool? I live in a 1960s neighborhood, okay? Y'all should come over for a big grill or something, like, I don't know. I live in a 1960s neighborhood. It's kind of old. The streets, the back streets are kind of like cracked. I like to go for walks in my neighborhood, and it's my way to connect with Jesus. I'll just walk and I'll just pray. And on this one particular walk, I stop and I notice this house. Don't put it up yet. But this guy's house has all these beautiful flowers at his house. He has all this beautiful landscaping. And the other homes in the neighborhood, the other homes don't look like this. Like, his house stands out with how beautiful it is. And I noticed something. Not only does his house look beautiful, this is crazy. This blew my mind. Across the street is city property. No one owns it. The city owns the property. Know what this guy did? He didn't just bloom where he was planted in his own house. The dude went across the street and planted flower gardens across the street on city property and turned it into an oasis there. And know what happened? As I'm walking, I stop in front of this guy's house and I just look at it and I just begin to cry. And like, God starts speaking to me. I'm like, Micah, this is what it looks like to be a follower of me. You bloom. It just blooms from you. It doesn't just impact you. It impacts other people. You know what I noticed about this guy's house? Because he decided to bloom where he was planted, other houses caught the same spirit and started flipping their homes around to start looking like this guy's house. This man became an oasis for others, me, a random guy to walk and just cry looking at the beautiful flowers. I felt like a female, okay? No, like, no offense. I'm emotional, okay? I got feelings too, all right? That's why I said don't judge me. But I watched as he inspired others in the neighborhood. Here's this guy's house, just a 1960s home. And then look at across the street on city property. Beautiful. On the other side, you can put up the next. Let's leave it there for a second. The land that he put the flowers, from that end of the flower garden to the end where I'm standing, is the equivalent of how long his house is in the property. The man just wanted to bloom wherever he was planted. And little did this guy know that it would actually minister to me. That is what the kingdom of God is like. Ladies, you may be here, but just know when you remain in Jesus, it's going to be like this. And it becomes a blessing for others who get to know you. It becomes a blessing for others who just walk by you. It becomes a blessing for others. The brokenness you started with, the cards you were dealt, don't need to be the place that you stay. But every single day, there's an oasis, an invitation for you to come to him. An oasis for you to be refreshed in him, which ultimately leads for you becoming an oasis to the world around you. Wasn't that cute? Aww. So he inspired me to buy Mums. You know what's awkward though? This isn't in my notes. This is really awkward. When I go on prayer walks and walk by his house, I always stare at his house. And for some reason, he's always standing with coffee in his hand, staring at me through the window. And it's so awkward because I'm admiring the beauty, but he just stares right at me. And I stare at him and we just keep going. This is how sweet of an old man he is. So I drove in our minivan. Back when we had, yes, I drive a minivan. I did, okay? I don't have wood panels and it's not blue. But I love his house so much that I stopped the car and stared at his house with my kids and had my kids look at his house. He saw me staring at it again. So he walks out of his house. He just comes up to our window. Hey. I'm like, hi. I said, I love your flowers, sir. It does something to me every time. And he goes, do you want some maple syrup? The guy's got pine trees in his backyard and taps his trees and makes homemade syrup. He's one of those guys. Who is this man making me cry with his flower beds? Now he's offering me maple syrup. It's like, I want to be like that guy. I'm convinced the older we get, the more sweeter we should become. The more like Jesus we become. You want to know why? Because it's given us more years to remain in him and to be an oasis for others around us. Every lady gets to come up here in a little bit and grab one of these. And when you see this, I want it to be a reminder that it's an invitation for you to go back to the oasis. It's an invitation for you to go back to Jesus again and again and again. But then wherever you place it, just let it be a reminder that God wants to be an oasis through you too. And your starting point doesn't have to be the starting point that stays there forever. But God, in his faithfulness, can turn it into something beautiful. Jesus, thank you for inviting us into your oasis. God, thank you for being that for us. And Lord, today I want to pray scripture over every lady before we stand and worship. And Jesus, this is my prayer over all the ladies. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and mums. I added mums. Sorry. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the hardest starting point, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Single moms, this is true for you. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the oasis of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, it is one book per single mom. Just a reminder, if you want to buy an additional copy, you can, but it's one book for every single mom for free. And then we have a flower for every lady. Our worship team is going to lead us in a song. As they are leading us, I would love for you, when you're ready, to come grab a flower and whatever else, and then head back to your seats. Here we go.